Monday morning. Welcome. As we start another work week, hope you had a great weekend. I hope you got to celebrate Mother's Day or spend some time reflecting on your mom or talking with your mom. If your mom has sadly passed on, maybe it was just telling some stories and some memories. I know some friends of mine that were doing that over the weekend as well. You see what I brought in, Frank? My bucket of, so this is, if you go on the Evan Bray Show Facebook page, later in the show today, we're going to be talking about basically lost and found items. This box, it's a wooden box. It's a little bit tattered, and it is chocked full. You can see the pictures on the Facebook page of letters. These letters go from 1940 to about 1944, and they are written by a young lady who is, that's the lid of the box slapping shut, who was going to nursing, Saratoga Springs, New York, taking some nursing there, and was writing to her mom and her family on a regular basis. These ended up in my possession after I bought a box of a variety of different things at an auction sale a couple of years ago and opened this lid on this box, and there's all these letters in there, and they've got an address, which, of course, the research has shown me that no one lives at that address anymore, at least no one related to these letters. And so I'm still in the middle of a deep dive to try and locate the owners or the family of these letters. So after 11 o'clock this morning, we're talking about lost and found items that maybe you lost, and after a number of months or years, they got returned to you, or vice versa. You've returned something to someone, kind of like my story as well. I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. Okay, well, Monday morning open lines, we can talk about a variety of different things. I said, you know, gosh, we have talked federal politics a lot, which there's always an appetite for that. Tomorrow is the cabinet shuffle, Mark Carney's cabinet shuffle. There was a recent recount that saw another liberal seat handed out in Quebec. So the Bloc lost one. The Liberals moved up. Now they've got 170 seats in the federal parliament, which is two short of a majority government. Like, they're getting that close with these recounts. So we can chat about anything if you want federally, but I'm suggesting maybe we should talk local. And on Thursday of last week, we had the mayors from both Regina and Saskatoon on, and we got into some great conversations about some of the good things going on in those communities and some of the challenges as well. What do you see as the priority in your community? What are the things that are need to be worked on, should be number one on the to-do list? Doesn't mean they are, but what would it be for you? 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. In fact, Jay was quick on the draw from Regina this morning. Jay, thanks so much for calling in. What's on your mind from a local or municipality standpoint?
Well, I'm glad you had the mayors on, but the one thing you never hear the mayors talk about is infrastructure in our cities, and water infrastructure in particular. I don't know if your listeners are aware, Evan, but 600 kilometers of Regina water mains are made from old asbestos cement pipe, and 350 kilometers in Saskatoon. There was a research facility set up at the U of R in 2003. City of Regina paid $5 million for it. 10 studies. They all say the asbestos in the water is a health concern. One in particular says cancer. Why are we not doing more to deal with this issue?
Have they put a plan together, Jay? Have they got a, you know, here's kind of the blueprint of how we're going to replace them?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because in 2005, when the first report came out on Regina, a very specific report, scientific study, said it's a health concern. And the city set in place a plan at that time, and in 2006, it would have cost $150 million to replace all the asbestos cement water pipes in Regina. They decided to kick that can down the road. To do that now, we're looking into billions.
Wow. Wow. That's,
it's a major problem.
That's the cost of waiting.
Covered it in the past. I'd urge you to look into it.
Sure.
The research is all there. The facility was set up at the U of R Center for Sustainable Infrastructure Research.
I've got it noted. We have the mayors on every month, so I'll note it as a question for the next time we have, well, both mayors, but Mayor Bushinsky and Regina for sure. And you said 600 kilometers worth of
600
these
kilometers.
Yeah.
Look on the city of Regina map, abandoned asbestos cement pipes. Mm-hmm. The map pops right up.
They're right on.
Blue and red.
Well, thanks for bringing it up, Jay. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
50-year time frame to replace the pipes in Regina currently.
Okay. We'll do some digging into that as well. So Thanks for calling in. That's exactly what we're looking for. What is on your mind? What do you think the priority should be in your community? And it doesn't have to be just Regina or Saskatoon, any community. Are you equipped to deal with it, whatever it is you're talking about? You know, we talk about homelessness a fair bit. There was a story. Did you see this story? I got it forwarded to me by a friend of mine who said, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about homelessness and what is going to be done about homelessness in some of the communities, some of the bigger communities, it tends to have manifested differently. Well, there was a story the Canadian Press did just recently. The federal government spending $7 million this year to store and maintain four custom-made portable hospitals that were bought during the COVID pandemic. So $200 million to buy these portable hospitals, mobile hospitals. They basically weren't used or were very underutilized. And as a result, now the federal government spends around $7 million to store and maintain them. And they're looking and trying to find ways that they could sell these assets or donate them to an eligible organization. There has been, it sounds like Toronto and Ottawa reached out and wondered about, is this a temporary way to alleviate the homelessness situation? But for some reason, it was ruled out. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to use these. Seem like, in fact, if you go online and look at, just type in Canadian mobile hospitals, I'm sure the story will come up. But the fact that as a country, we spent $200 million on these things and they're sitting in storage, there has to be a way that they could be used. And it does make you wonder if you couldn't be using these to somehow help out with the homelessness situation. What's on your mind? 1-877-332-8255. Judging by the text line so far, what is on a lot of people's minds is this recount of the Quebec riding Terrebonne. Liberals inched another seat closer to a majority government on Saturday after a judicial recount left their candidate as the winner by a margin of one vote. Can you believe that? It brings the Liberals to 170 seats in the House of Commons, too shy of the 172 needed for a majority government. The bloc falls by that one seat as well, so they're down to 22 now. So this is the one. The Liberals were initially projected to win the riding by 35 votes after the April 28th election. May 1st, following the required post-election validation process, the bloc moved ahead by 44 votes. And then the win was returned to the Liberals following the judicial recount, with the Liberal candidate winning literally one vote more than the Bloc. So a judicial recount, it's automatic when the number of votes cast for a candidate with the most votes and the number of votes cast for any other candidate is less than 0.1% of the valid votes cast. So in this case, that was the case. The recount began on Thursday, wrapped up on Saturday, and Elections Canada said that the recount, overseen by a Superior Court of Quebec judge. Nonetheless, Liberals win another seat by one vote. They're at 170 seats total. 172 is what they would need for a majority. There's a few people questioning, like, how is that even possible? Why did the recount not give an accurate recount? That's my first question. If they did, so after the election, they do a recount or a review, and it swings by, well, what ended up being 77 seats, and then the third recount gives them another one? Something seems a little bit weird. I'm confused. And lots of Matt in Saskatchewan or in Saskatoon with the text this morning says, I'm confused. How does a Quebec federal riding go to the Liberals, then have a recount, lose the seat to the Bloc, then another recount, and the Liberals win by a seat? How many recounts do you get? Imagine if this was a Conservative. Liberals would be demanding another voting day, getting tired of these closed-door recounts weeks later, and then people why there's criticism on election fraud. That's Matt in Regina. 1-877-332-8255. Another text here from Cameron in Regina. Two thoughts, totally unrelated to one another. Cameron says, just in case you think your vote doesn't count, probably plenty of Bloc supporters who didn't vote, who are upset by the Liberal one vote victory in that Quebec riding. just chatted about that. Secondly, since the Trump administration seems to be making progress in tariff talks with other top 10 economies in the world, the liberals better get moving, because by the time we settle things, we won't be able to dictate anything. The precedents might already be set by other countries. Cameron, thanks so much for that. Yeah, the U.S. and China made some fairly positive steps forward, although experts are pointing that China really didn't make any concessions. U.S. dumped their big tariff, 145% tariffs, what they considered to be counter tariffs on Chinese goods. China reciprocated with dropping some of their tariffs as well. But this is a 90-day pause, if you will, on the tariffs, and it's already affected stock markets. Will there be more repercussions? I guess we will have to wait and see on that. What's on your mind today? Open phones are here for you. 1-877-332-8255. We'll take our first break. We'll be back with more of your thoughts here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Yeah, a lot of eyebrows raised at the, it's the recount of the recount is essentially what happened. This is in the Quebec riding of Terrebonne. Liberals end up winning after the weekend recount by one vote over the Bloc. And don't forget, election night, the end of April, it was touted as a Liberal win. Then they do the mandatory review that they do. May 1st, they say, nope. Bloc wins by 44, but because it was so close, it triggers this automatic process, a judicial recount. It's automatic when the votes are within a certain percentage of one another. So they have that happen. It's overseen by a Superior Court of Quebec justice, who I know some people are pointing out was appointed by the Liberal government. Yeah, you'd like to think that has nothing to do with it. But anyway, there was apparently a couple of ballots or extra ballots that were found that hadn't been counted yet. The whole thing seems a little bit goofy. And don't forget, there's a couple of other recounts that are still happening as well. So this has been a bit of a steady increase from at one time, what were they, 168 on election day. Now the Liberals are at 170, and 172 is what's needed for a majority government. So I don't know. Is this story done being written? Time will tell. 1-877-332-8255. Dawn in Regina pointing out the riding in Windsor didn't reach the threshold for a judicial recount, but the judge granted one anyway. So, a few different things going on there as well. And Marv, lots of people weighing in on these changes and swings that are happening after these judicial recounts. 1-877-332-8255. What about the cabinet shuffle that will be happening tomorrow? What are you expecting to see there? These are all what I would suggest are tests. They're tests for those of us that are wanting to know, is Mark Carney different than Justin Trudeau? Will he take a different path? So, you know, step one might have been how he responded after the election win. Step two might have been the response to Saskatchewan's Premier Scott Moe. They have a phone conversation. They agree to meet in person. We know that that meeting now is scheduled on June 2nd, where he's actually having the Premier's meetings in Saskatchewan, the first time in, 40 years, I think we've done that. So that's a positive step. So many people, I think we threw this out on the open lines last week, so many people saying, okay, the proof will be in the pudding whether or not we actually see some of these policies come off the table. Things like Bill C-69, the No More Pipelines Law, the clean electricity regs, some of those, the oil and gas cap, some of those things that are not exactly friendly to the energy industry. Will we see the Liberal government take this strong climate-focused policy when it comes to things, or will we see a change? And I would suggest that tomorrow, when the cabinet is appointed, we will get a chance to see a little more insight into what Mark Carney is planning to do. So someone like Stephen Guibal, right? What happens there? You know, I mean, he was a climate activist before he became a politician. He was the Minister of Environment for a number of years, where that ultimately, I would suggest, seriously shifted and set the trail ablaze of the direction that they were going, the Liberal government, with regard to some of those policies. Does Stephen Guilbeau find his way back into the cabinet in a key position? How about Mark Holland, someone else that I would suggest wasn't always friendly to the West? You know, even you wonder about someone like Chrystia Freeland, who had a very high-profile job. She was the finance minister. We know the whole story there. She steps down, resigns. That ultimately resulted in the toppling of the Trudeau government, the triggering of a leadership election and the federal election. Does Chrystia Freeland make her way back into the cabinet? There's lots of speculation. There's some high-profile MPs that were cabinet ministers. There's some newly elected MPs that weren't there for the last government. I would expect you're going to see a balance of them making their way in there as well. But this is going to be really interesting. We will be following this along very closely tomorrow morning. I think we've secured Stephanie Taylor from the Canadian Press to join us tomorrow morning to chat about that as well. But what are you watching for when it comes to that? Curious to hear your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. The phone lines are open. Edwin in Regina, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, we're doing recounts and everything already, but nothing's been done about the suspicious nature of the Liberal leader race. How come I don't hear any more about that?
What in particular are you talking about, Edwin?
Well, there was talk that people received more votes than what they should have. And other people didn't receive hardly anything, even in their own district. So there were some suspicious things going on. Not a word heard about it. Zero. Crickets.
Interesting. You know, I mean, I remember right after the Liberal leadership race, seeing a couple of editorials and people that felt they should have had a ballot, didn't get a ballot. There was a couple of things I saw online with regard to that. But you're right. It didn't seem to get a lot of traction. But yeah, I mean, I would have assumed that that would have been dealt with long before the election. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, there's a lot of different things coming in. We talked about, maybe you want to chat about something local. John in White City says, this has been bothering me for a long time. Why does the Board of Police Commissioners get a consulting company to hire a police chief? A police chief that has no vested interest in the community, no intention of moving his family to Regina. As far as I'm concerned, the board has some major issues, John in White City. They have long, and I mean, this is a pretty common practice, that boards of police commissioners will hire a consulting firm to come in, a headhunting firm to come in and do the search. I know that happened when I was ultimately appointed to the position. It happened after a long process with a consulting company. So I think it's fairly standard. I mean, the result of that and who they actually put in that position usually is hinged on a vote by the Board of Police Commissioners. But I think, like any fairly high-profile position, they often will try and bring in an outside firm to avoid bias, I guess, if you will, in that process. But nonetheless, what role did it have to play in the latest appointment, and what's going on currently in Regina? That's yet to be determined. Okay, take another break. We'll come back. Open lines continues right up until 10 o'clock. 1-877-332-8255. Whatever's on your mind, I'm happy to hear from you here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Open lines for you, 1-877-332-8255. Something else that's got a lot of attention this morning, especially in Regina, is it actually started yesterday. A couple of people golfing at the Wascana Golf Course saw what appeared to be a bear romping across a fairway. It wasn't their hole. It was one hole over. And they kind of did a second look, like, was that a bear or was that a big dog? Well, since then, we've had spottings of this bear all over the place. And just this morning, we received confirmation that the bear was tranquilized near downtown Regina. It was in a tree, Victoria Avenue in Montreal. Did you see this bear? Did it halt you in your travels? Did you have to slam the brakes on as it crossed the road in front of you? Maybe you were on the golf course yesterday and you were one of the ones that got a glimpse of this black bear. The pictures I've seen, we've had a couple of people interacting with us. It's not huge, mind you. if you saw a black bear, it would stop you in your tracks. You're not expecting to see that in the city of Regina. So been tranquilized, will be moved back out into a remote area. But curious to know if you saw it. You can always shoot us a text at 1-877-332-8255. Open lines continues. I'd love to hear from you, whatever is on your mind. Why don't we start with Cal in Oxbow? Happy Monday, Cal.
Good morning, Evan. Happy Monday. Yes, I was raging over the weekend a little bit on a couple of things that I heard, but I've calmed down and organized my thoughts. So if you allow me a couple of minutes.
Sure.
I don't know if people heard the Bloc leader, Francois Blanchet, make some comments over the weekend. You know, he said some very strong things, you know, calling Canada an artificial country with little meaning. He said there was no future for oil and gas. And then he said oil and gas is not a culture. Now, this is the kind of smug elitism that the West, you know, really gets frustrated with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had David Olive, I believe his name is, from the Toronto Star. And he had a few things to say, like Alberta has an incurable grievance with the Federation. Not even TMX has reduced its belly aching, which, if you remember, that was going to cost taxpayers $0.
Right.
And it was the government that put so many roadblocks in place that they just walked away. And then, of course, Trudeau mismanaged it and spent billions. And then David Olive also said Alberta doesn't do gratitude. It does righteous indignation. Now, you know, these continued Laurentian spankings of what they see as a petulant child, you know, and open dismissal of our frustrations. I mean, all it does is just fan the flames more and more of this separation. So it'll be interesting to see what Carney does, because if he continues with his green energy, doesn't want people to buy cars and all, and really sort of puts a stop to sort of the economic opportunity mm-hmm. for our younger generation, I just don't know where it's going to go from here.
You know, your point is well taken. I sometimes think over the years, and maybe I don't know if you're the same, Cal, but you sometimes get numb. Like, you just chalk it up to that's an entitled Easterner. In the case of the Toronto Star, I don't put a lot of credit into it. But your point about the Bloc leader to me is an interesting one, because I read those comments, and if the Bloc ends up holding an important role with this government, they're the ones that are needed, for example, to pass a piece of legislation, you know, there's always that reciprocal, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. So you wonder, Cal, if the Bloc could play a more significant role with this new Liberal government, as the NDP did last time.
Right. And if they continue sort of with this direction that Eastern Canada continues to vote, you know, I just think that it's going to continue to be a problem out West. You know, if they're going to say they're keeping us safe, which sometimes means taking away our freedoms, and they continue to print money and restrictions on energy, I don't know if the Bloc is going to help quell these flames.
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate conversation. I appreciate you. And by the way, Cal, you did a good job presenting in a very calm manner. So thank you for that. If you were worked up over the weekend, we don't know. You've had a couple of cups of coffee and you're calmed down now. 1-877-332-8255. Open lines today. We're really not putting any guardrails there. We're saying whatever you want to chat about, we're happy to talk about. Corey in Saskatoon, what's on your mind today, Corey?
Hey, federal politics, very big, but municipal politics, even bigger.
Yeah.
Fairhaven community.
Mm.
It's got to change. I had a conversation with Robert Pierce. Great guy. What a great guy. And the changes he wants to make to the community are just amazing. But we have to get multiple levels of people on board to make changes in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Do you live in that neighborhood, Corey?
I do not. I'm a business owner in that.
Okay. Yeah. So has it gotten better? Because for a while there, I mean, we were talking about it every day. Then it's somewhat, I know Cam McBride stepped in as chief. He had a couple of town hall meetings. And whether it subsided or not, I don't know. But it seemed to quiet on the text line and the phone lines. We weren't getting as many calls. Where's it at now? Is it still a problem?
I can't say what I want to say on the radio.
Okay. So it's still a problem.
It's very bad. It is very bad. Vandalism, and there's businesses closing, and there's, I don't know, garbage being thrown everywhere. And I guess what it comes down to is that the fire department and the police force are underfunded. And we need to get some sort of funding so that these people, and they're great, the fire department and the police force are wonderful, as you know. And we need to find some way to help those organizations do a better job.
Mm. Listen, I appreciate you calling in, Corey, whether you're a business owner in the area or people that live in the area. We often field calls from people that live in that Fairhaven area in Saskatoon. It's so tough because I don't know that police and fire, you know, Corey's suggesting we need more resources in those areas, but they tend to be reacting to the kind of the downstream effect of what's going on. So whether this is homelessness, whether this is truly a crime issue, if it's a crime issue, then yeah, fair enough. The police are the ones to respond. But this seems like a bit of an unwieldy problem that we continue to talk about. And for a while, I thought it was maybe getting a little bit better, but some of the recent challenges. Now, we just chatted with Mayor Cynthia Block last week about the fact that there were some changes made to the homelessness committee. Robert Pierce, who is the counselor for that area, was elected, I would suggest, on a platform to try and make changes to some of the problems that were happening there. And as Robert Pierce talks about, he feels many of those are tied to that emergency wellness shelter that has been in the area for over a couple of years now. But nonetheless, he was removed from the committee. He has since come out publicly and said it was the right decision for the city to remove me from the committee. I think many in that area hope that he continues to be a loud voice and an advocate to try and clean that area up. So, Corey, thank you so much for the call. 1-877-332-8255. We got a lot of different calls coming in today, and it's funny. On Monday, it's kind of a free-for-all Monday. We're going wherever you want to go. Jim in Saskatoon, what is it for you that's on your mind this Monday morning?
Well, you know, we've been talking about politics on and off here for the last little while, so this has just got thrown to the sideline, but it's festered for an entire winter and half the summer. Is, I don't know about Regina, but Saskatoon has to be full of the absolute worst drivers ever in the world.
You think so, you know, Jim?
These guys that are making a left-hand turn, thinking they can turn all the way across into the far right-hand lane.
Oh, yeah, it drives me
and
crazy.
And then you're in the right-hand lane, and you're making a right-hand turn right in front of them, and they start shaking their fist at you.
Yep.
Like they think they own the place.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. That drives me crazy, too. Now, I'm literally in both cities, like half the month in both, it seems. I'm in Saskatoon a lot. I'm in Regina a lot. And I said, this is a few months back, I think Regina has the worst drivers in the province. Jim, you're challenging me on that.
And the second one's going to be in Saskatoon, and you know what Saskatoon is, okay? There's people that could drive around this entire circle drive in Saskatoon in the right-hand lane and never pull over once in the left to let 12 cars coming down the on-ramp get in.
Yeah.
No, they have to hit their brakes, and everybody behind them has to start pounding their brakes on, and you're going, cars coming off of Taylor Street, and suddenly you're going 40 kilometers an hour in a 90 zone.
Yeah.
And you wonder why there's 80, 60 cars lined up behind you.
I had that happen on Attridge, actually, not that long ago. I know exactly what you're talking about. Jim, I hope this was therapeutic for you. Thanks for calling in this morning, 1-877-332-8255. As we get closer to summer, maybe we'll have to get another traffic safety section of the roundtable on. We do that usually a couple of times a year. We bring in traffic cops onto the show, and people can call in with their grievances. It's like an airing of the grievances, and the cops will tell you what the charge is and those types of things. Okay, let's take our last break. I've still got a couple of calls. Ari is on the line. Aaron is on the line. I've got a few texts I want to get to. Open lines continues until 10 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Open phones continues, 1-877-332-8255. Ari in Saskatoon, we just had the song Laughing by the Guess Who, and I see here you've never laughed harder at the city of Saskatoon. That's a good blend to what you want to talk about, Ari.
It's a perfect lead-in. So tomorrow morning, the city's Governance and Priorities Committee, I'm going to say that name again, Governance and Priorities Committee, is considering a report from the auditor to go to, wait for it, priority-based budgeting. What have they been doing since then?
Well,
okay, because right now the way the budget works is that turning around and putting up decorative lights in downtown Saskatoon is considered an equal priority to fixing the sinkhole in front of it. Like there's no priority, there's no listing. And this report comes from the city auditors themselves. They're like, they're considering having priorities.
So do we know what the makeup of priority-based budgeting will be?
No. I mean, there's a process for it, and they're talking about implementing a process. But my brain went pop when it's like, it's you are the Governance and Priorities Committee. Is that not the fundamental role that you have, is to set priorities for governance? And isn't budgeting the top of that list? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It seems. I mean, I think about all the years I sat through city budgets. It there was always talk about priorities, talk about core functions versus, you know, it's the need to have versus nice to have. But I'll be curious, Ari, to follow this along. Something tells me you and I might chat about this again.
Well, and I think about it when you look back. I mean, they spent a lot of money on hiring a bike coordinator for the city. Like there was a person who was hired by the city to just coordinate nonprofit biking activities to promote biking in the city. Hmm. Was that a priority? I don't know.
Well, I made a note of it here. I've got asbestos pipes to ask the Regina mayor about now, budget prioritization, and a new process to ask the Saskatoon mayor about next time they are on. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people reacting to things we have talked about. We were just chatting about Fairhaven. Lori with a text, she's a resident in Fairhaven. She says, no, Evan, Fairhaven has not gotten better. A woman was beaten up yesterday, found at the bus stop. Firefighters had to hose down the blood after she was taken by ambulance to the hospital. With regard to the block leader, Yves-Francois Blanchette, Susan says, he is an embarrassment to Canada. He's boycotting the king, reading the speech from the throne May 27th. How disrespectful of Parliament and the king. Susan in Saskatoon. Conspiracy Kevin with a text message. He must be at the gym. When he's at the gym, he can't call in, so he texts in. He says, I can't help but wonder if the reason for all of the recounts, so this is the recent recount that happened in the Terrebonne riding in Quebec. Kevin says, I can't help but wonder if the reason for all the recounts and the in-our-face suspicious riding flips doesn't have more than one motive, one of them being getting people to beg for digital voting ID. Thanks, Kevin. 1-877-332-8255. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Aaron calling from Parkbeg, which is the home of Gaynor the Gopher, if I'm not mistaken. But Aaron, you have a peculiar thing you would like to talk about today.
No, you'd be right, Evan. This is home of Gaynor the Gopher. I'm pretty proud of that. Also home of Parkbeg Alpine Club, which it's pretty good, but no, I'm sick and tired of people saying I look like Andrew Scheer or Shane Gillis. It's blown up on my Facebook. I can't take
it. Do you look like him?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I want to be the judge of it. I want to see a picture. Can you text me a picture?
I could get around to doing that, yeah.
Okay, well, I would love to see a picture. If you had to choose one to look like, Would it be comedian Shane Gillis or MP Andrew Scheer?
I don't know. They're both handsome guys.
Oh, they're handsome devils, all right. Hey, Aaron, thanks for giving us a little bit of levity at the end of Open Phones today. Have a great day in Park Bag, my friend.
I will.
I'm sick. He says, I'm sick and tired of being compared and saying I look like Andrew Scheer and Shane Gillis. I got to see the picture. I got to see for myself. Okay, we finish open lines. We go to the round table of justice, all based on technology. Man, there are some incredible things happening when it comes to new technology being used to fight crime. I've got three great guests coming up next on the round table of justice right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.